Shkolim Perches Mishnah Dalad. Continue our discussion of things that are tome and how to deal with them. Things obviously that are shaykh to the Mikdosh. Paroiches Shenitmes Bivlad HaTome. There's a few explanations that are necessary over here. One of the paroiches in, where were the paroiches? And obviously between the Heichel, between the Kodesh and between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There were also paroiches in. There was another paroiches, Mavur in the Mishnayis, that even though in the Torah and Parshas Truma there's only one paroiches, but in actuality, from Shlomo Melech and on, or maybe the second base of Mikdash, there were two paroiches in between the Kodesh and between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was as well also a paroiches in the Pesach HaUlam. So any one of these paroiches in Shenitmes Bivlad HaTuma, a Vlad HaTuma, which always means Lomas, and Avatuma, Vlad means a Rishon LaTuma. And this needs an explanation. It becomes Tomei al Yidei Avat, Rishon Lutoma. Can something like the Kli become Tomei from a Rishon? We'll discuss that in a minute. The Halacha Vashteto is Matbilin Oiso Bifnim. Anything that's Tomei in the Mikdash doesn't make a difference if it's a person that's Tomei or if it's a Kli that's Tomei, has to be taken out. But over here, Bifnim means in the Azorah. So it was really outside of the Mokum that it became Tomei. The Parechus was hanging, it became Tomei. Medbilin Oysa Bifnim in the Mikvah in the Azorah. It doesn't have to be taken immediately out. And the reason for that is because the dynamic of this Tumah is different than a regular Tumah, than if a Sheretz, a dead Sheretz, touched a Kli Sharetz. We'll discuss that. Umachnisin oisa miyad, and it can be brought down right, brought back right away. Normally, if something is nitbal mitumo, it always has harav shemesh until that night. A person or a kli that was put in a mikveh to be mitar from tumah sheretz tahara only is fully completed that night. That's called the harav shemesh. So what's going on over here in this mishnah? First of all, a pareches nitmes is not a simple matter at all. How does a pareches become tummy? Pareches, when it's put up, there's a Mishnah Mefureshes in Taris, and it's really a sugya in Beit Sadaf Yudalid, that a wall of a structure is not Mekabel Tumah, it's considered part of the structure. The Gemara says Mefuresh over there, a viloin that's hung up to separate between two parts of a room to divide it, what we would call a mechitza in a shul, is not Mekabel Tumah. Now, mechitza in a shul might not be just if you put up something that's not attached to the walls, but if it's attached to the walls and it goes all the way across, it's considered a wall. So it's not a Mekabel Tumah, it becomes part of the structure. So what the Mefarshim say over here, Tosfos in Beitza and Daf Yudal deals with this question. And Tosfos says that the Pareches that was between the Kodesh and between the Kodesh Kadoshim had a slight bend in it. And it's considered also that it's an Oroin, it's a, considered an oil on the Oroin. You have to see the Gemara and Sukkah for that. Therefore, it has a din also of Tumah Seholim, which an oil is Mekabel Tumah. Mechitza is not Mekabel Tumah. An oil is Mekabel Tumah. Everything that we're discussing over here has to do with various halachas and Mesechus Oilah, so we'll leave that aside. Now, what's going on over here with the Vlad HaTumah is that on a Deraisa level, the rule of thumb is that a Rishon LeTumah can only be metame oichel. We do not find the concept of a rishon l'tumah, food that or any liquid that touched an av hatumah. If a nida or a zov touched oichel, it cannot be metame kli. If that oichel was put into a kli, it's not metame the kli. Only if the nida touched the kli herself, so then she as an av hatumah renders the kli a rishon l'tumah. So what are we talking about over here? This is one of the famous Yudches Gzeris that we find in the end of the first parak in Shabbos. Chazal will geyser on any mashka that becomes a Rishon L'tumah. That means any liquid, a cup of water, that becomes Tomeh because it was touched by an Avatumah, a Zov, a Nida, and so on. Or a Sheretz. It's also an Avatumah. They will geyser on those Dvarim HaNitmim that really are a Rishon, that it has a status of an Av. Why? There are certain types of liquids that have a status of an avatoma. What's that? Any mashka that's yotza from a person who's tummy. Roy ka yotza meraglayim, roy dam, that are yotza miguf of a zov, of a zova, of a nida, all have the status of kimoisoi, and they bleiben avatomo, and they are metamakelim. Because of that, they rendered all mashkim that are nitma al yidei an avatomo, they become a vladatomo, they turned it somewhat into an avatomo, and a kli becomes tamei, but of course this tumah is only derabonon. Because the tumah is only derabonon, we're not machmir to have to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash. We're also not makbid to give it a din of harav shemesh. So we say the madbil noise bifnim and machnis noise miyad. However, based on what we just said, the Mishnah continues. Veshenitmis ba'avatomo. If the parech is touched by a sheretz itself, madbil noise b'chutz, you have to take it out. The din of shiluach machnois, anything that's nitma has to be taken out of the azor. Veshoitchin oise, they spread it out to dry b'chel. Chel is outside the azora. It's an area of 10 amas wide that's makiv the azora. When we say the azora over here, I don't only mean the azora, the Ezra's Yisrael, even the Ezra's Noshim. There's an area outside. That's the place to where goyim are allowed to go. So if somebody was tomei, he had to leave the azora. Not only that, but a harav shemesh is also not allowed to go in the azora. The kli, which is nitma, the parochus, which is nitma over here, even after tvilo, blibes a harav shemesh, and it has to be laid out to dry, hung out to dry in the chel, outside of the azorois, until that night when it could come in. If the parochus was a new parochus, remember they replaced the parochus. We learned in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah earlier lists off all the departments of taking care of different things in the Mishkan. It was a whole department for parochusim, because they got used up, and they had to be replaced. If this parochus was new, so it was fresh and the colors, the tapestry on it was sparkling and it caught the eye. So interessant, from the very few places we find, the Mishkan did a little, the Beis HaMikdash did a little bit of advertising, so to speak. They spread it out, shoytchen oiso, they spread it out to dry, agagho itztabo, on the roof of the itztabo. The itztabo is something we find in a few places. They had benches on the harabais outside of the confines of the Mikdash. They had where people came and people went, people were standing for many hours, they had a place to sit down, and there was even a roof to protect from the sun and from the rain. The roof was very high up. This is where they put the Mishnayos and Psachim, they put the kikoros of Truma in order to show the simin to the Am down below in Yerushalayim when the Zman for Sreifas Chometz was. So over here they spread it out. Why? Because the visibility level was very high. You were able to see this in Yerushalayim. Anybody coming up to the Harabayas or down below would be able to see Kadesh Yiru Ha'omis Malacht and Shino, that everybody should see the Malacha, the beautiful Malacha that was put into the Parochus, how beautiful it was, and with that they would be inspired to be Menadiv to this part of the Mikdash. Mishnah Hey, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Loim Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Haskan. Rabbi Shimon ben Haskan is the son, this is the name of the son of Reb Chanina Skan HaKoyin that's mentioned in the Mishnah. See, here he's saying over, which is really very often the work of Reb Chanina Skan HaKoyin, and that he's told over the Chachomim details of Avodas HaMikdash that he was privy to. So Reb Shimon ben Haskan is saying over the Mesoris of how the Parochus work. We're talking about the Parochus, and we don't really have a full description of the Parochus anyplace else. Over here in the Mishnah in Shkolim, we describe the Parochus. Parochus of your tefach, it was thicker tefach, which means that it was very thick and very heavy. Val shivin ushnayim nimin nereges. The nimin, or nirin in other girsois, is the amount of woofs that the weaving process has on the machine. Like you have the melochis over there that are described in the Periklal Gadol and Shabbos. So there's the amount of pieces that go back and forth and weave in and out and in and out. How many were there? There were 72 ins and outs of the weaving because it was so thick. Now, this is all with, normally it's done with strings, with woven. First, you have to turn it into string, into yarn, and from there it's woven. The yarn that was spun over here was so thick, Valkol Nima Venima, each one of these weaves that are going in and out on the looms is esim v'abochutin, is 24 thinner strings. Now, the way this is described is, the Gemara in Yuma, Dafayin Aleph, says that every material was done six times over. And in the weaving of the Beis HaMikdash, there's Trelis, there's Agom, Telashoni, Vishesh. So there's four minim times six is 24. 24 strings tied into one thick, can't even call it a string, call it a rope. And that rope was what was woven in and out and in and out to make the finished tapestry, to make the peroiches. Orko arboim amo, v'rochbo esrim amo. The height of the Pesach Ha'ulam and also the entranceway between the Kodesh Kadoshim was 20 amos wide, 40 amos high. That's how big the Parochus was. U'mishmoinim u'shtei riboy nases. The Rav says the Pashto Pshat is 82 riboy. Riboy is 10,000, so 82,000 is 820,000. That's the amount of strings that were in it. That's the amount of din rezov that it cost. And that's why they had to make a pitch to the Olam from Yerushalayim to want to chip in to pay for the perplexing. It was a very expensive and costly thing to make. The Rav also brings another girsa, a fascinating girsa, Mishmoinim Ushtayim Rivois, which means Rivo means a young girl. It was woven by 82 Naorois Psulois, down the Sasek Basiyasa, the Santa. Ushtaim oisim b'chol shana. Two were made every year. This wasn't something they replaced every 10, 15, 20 years. They made two a year in order that it should always be fresh and sparkling. Ushloish me'as kain madbilin oisa. When it had to be nitval na mikvah, it was 300 kehanim that had to do the schlepping of it to be tevil and pick it up afterwards. You would need more people afterwards because if the parechas was wet, it was that much heavier. So I'm not sure how you could have the 300 kehanim that are taking it into the mikvah and taking it out. Maybe you need the 300 for the way out. Maybe it wasn't that heavy. The Santa Gemara gives a dugma in Chum, Daf Tzadik, different places, where Chazal use a number. It doesn't really mean that number. It's just that we're using a lashon of ribuy. The Maral talks in different places why certain numbers represent certain levels of ribuy. So over here, Chazal used the number 300. Maybe it wasn't really 300. It sounds like a guzma, the Gemara says. But maybe, like we're saying, when it was wet, it took that much more.